Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Wednesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke, and you can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5. Can email us, Chris at Hail Varsity. com. So coming up, we will get caught up with Mike Schuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf, segment 30 minutes away. Derek Peterson, HailVarsity.com and Magazine with us in 1 hour, and plenty of room for you. Two things dominating today. Locally, Maurice Washington is eligible, as that's been reported about an hour, hour and a half ago. And then you have the Urban Meyer, Zach Smith, Brett McMurphy story. And less than a week, a little more than a week ago, before we jump on the show, we're in Chicago. And from where I am to Danny, let's just go softball guy for a second. It's an underhand toss from short or second to that bag to try and turn the double play. That's the distance. Where I'm from Danny right now. That's the distance I was with from Urban Meyer when he was getting hammered on Zach Smith. What you knew, what's reported, did you know about his history? I mean, so we'll get into that. That's been beat over the head for the last several hours, and deservedly so. You can't have a guy that's full of BS claiming I know nothing. Does Urban Meyer survive this? Danny Cassino, Danny Burke, will have odds that are out there from Vegas if Urban Meyer is going to stay the head coach at Ohio State. I think he does. But we'll get into that. Let's talk Maurice Washington. And you've been waiting, you've been wondering what's going to happen with Maurice Washington. Is he going to make it? Is he going to be eligible? Would he be admitted? Well, you saw on Twitter that things went well for him recently. So the question now is going to be for Maurice Washington, extremely, extremely talented back. What's going to be his role and what's going to be his position? What's going to be his opportunity for Nebraska football this fall? Is it going to be an academic redshirt? He might be eligible to the university, but would he be eligible to play for Nebraska? Well, the news came down that Maurice Washington will be a full go. He is eligible and he is allowed to play. And this dude can play. You look at his numbers in high school. Deion Sanders was his offensive coordinator down at Trinity Christian. And what can Maurice Washington do for you? Well, he can put up sick touchdown numbers. Catching, running, and just being the mother of all hybrid offensive players. Best guy that just watching his film, and this is not very kind. It's not fair. I shouldn't say it's very kind, but it's not fair. You just think of Reggie Bush, right? Think of Bush in his heyday at USC. Think of Bush in his heyday with the change of direction and the burst. Catching the football, running the football. Those were fun offenses to watch in college football. And Maurice Washington's that style of player. 6'1", 190, major threat, 10 yards a carry, total of 24 touchdowns in high school. And the reason he was out there is just because of his baggage. The kid's had a hard life. The kid's had some issues with eligibility and where he had to transfer. He missed his junior year of high school because a school in California deemed a transfer from one school to another was for athletic purposes only. He ended up his senior year at Trinity Christian, but then I don't know that he finished. He finished the football season, but then ended up back in California to then graduate, and then he had to put some work in this summer to become eligible. Scott Frost, Ryan Helb, the staff see such a special talent, but I think more so, when you look at that running back room, can this guy put you over the top? Yes, eventually. Can he be a difference maker for you in big games in the Big Ten West? Can he be a difference maker for you some of those crossover games? Absolutely. But I think they saw a dude they wanted to stick with. They had Maurice Washington's back with gaining eligibility. They were there for him. They were in there early for him. And when the rest of the world said, oh my God, this guy's a stud running back in the Under Armour All-American game, Nebraska and Coach Frost are already in there. Because they saw talent, they evaluated it properly, but the patience, dedication, and loyalty paid off for Nebraska football, and Maurice Washington will be a Husker. And the question now is, how much will we see him this fall? You'll have a chance to see him. What's he going to be ready for?
Yeah, I'm excited, man. Great news. Four-star recruit coming in, all the hype surrounding him, had his struggles, but glad to see him here. And you're right, the big question is, what does this mean for the running back room? A lot of threats now, not just for this season, but upcoming season. So a lot to look forward to for the Huskers. And this really brings into play that new red shirt rule where they can play four games.
Amen.
So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of schemes Frost is going to use with these players and what games and what situations, how much we're going to use these new guys. So I don't know. If you had to say right now, what are you thinking with them?
Well, you're going to see them late in the year is my best guess. Just because, he's not been here during the summer with the guys because he's been trying to gain eligibility. So there's been no early enrollment. There's been no summer workouts, at least with this crew. Mm-hmm. So he's coming in really, really green, really, really raw. Now, is he athletic enough to find some things for him to do? Absolutely. I mean, he can touch the ball three or four times and be a difference maker when he touches the football. But you're not gonna ask him to come in game one. Oh, you've been here for 3 weeks. Sweet. I know Central Florida's pulled it off before in the secondary with a really talented cornerback that's now in the NFL. But I'm saying at this spot, you have options in Greg Bell. You have options with Miles Jones. You have options with some of the guys you can use as a hybrid in Tyjon Lindsey and Spielman. You have guys that can do things for you in that jet sweep, zone read, dual threat, catch it out of the backfield or take it on a zone read and just go. So you aren't dependent on him. This is a luxury, man. This is having two cars and then getting the sports car because now your disposable income's where you want it to be. That's what this is with Nebraska and Maurice Washington, because yeah, eventually you hoped to get him eligible and available to play in year one is just icing here, just because the possibility was out there that, all right, dude, you'll be here, you'll be under our watch, you'll be going to school, you'll be doing your thing, you'll be getting acclimated, just do school and be part of the team, but don't worry about playing. Now you have the opportunity to play, which is pretty big time for Nebraska. With the redshirt rule, let's see how he comes in. Let's see what type of shape he's in, first of all, because that's been the biggest thing from Coach Held. Dude's got to be in shape. They got to be in monster shape because they want to run tempo. They want to run 90 plays. You got to be even in better shape as guys have gotten into really good shape. You got to be in Central Florida shape is pretty much the message here. So what type of shape is Maurice Washington going to be in? Where does he fit into this offense and just with the creativity and explosiveness of just getting dudes in space? He fits. But what are you going to ask him to do? And how much are you going to put on his shoulders? And how much are you going to rush him into things if he's not ready? And I don't see this staff doing that with Maurice Washington or anybody. They're going to make sure the kid's put in position to succeed. And they'll do that for Maurice Washington. So as the year goes on, you're going to have four games to use him. And the more comfortable he gets, the more playbook understanding he has, you're not just going to waste/burn him for, okay, you can do five things right. I know it could be a difference making five plays, but I think you're going to want more options with him when you do use him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you nailed it. He hasn't been around, obviously, and the big factor is if he's in shape. And it comes down to that. And also, you're not going to put him ahead of these other guys who have been here through the whole summer. It's a respect thing. It's of who's more deserving as well.
Well, it's an earn it thing.
Exactly. And, you know, he could have all the talent in the world, but I think you got to set some standards and boundaries of, you know, who could just come in, walk in, and do it. Not to say he's a cocky guy coming in like that, but you got to earn it, and you got to earn that respect as well. And, yeah, so I don't imagine him coming in early, like you said, but I think there will be circumstances where they use those games as a redshirt for him, where he could come into the right situation, see how he can handle it, see what kind of plays they can run with him, and what kind of back he can be for this team in the future.
I mean, let's just kind of benchmark it here. Against the defense, let's just talk out loud, okay? Maurice Washington, when and where can you use him? All right, say he gets here, and maybe he's already here. I don't know. I just know that he's eligible, right? Mm-hmm. So I think Greg Smith reported that in the coming days he'll be here. Camp gets rolling Friday. So is it too much to say, okay, can you see him against Colorado? That seems pretty soon to me.
Yeah.
That said, Maybe that's a very optimistic goal that you see Maurice Washington against Colorado. Let's be more realistic. Let's go on a road trip to Ann Arbor. I think against that defense, you're going to need every potential big play you can have. No turnovers, good run game, solid. I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. We don't even know who the hell the quarterback is. But point is a guy like Maurice Washington against a team like Michigan, you want dudes like that. You want a team full. And by the way, there's quite a collection of hybrid, really good athletes that can run and catch the football that Scott Frost has. That's the best way I know about going against a Michigan defense that's got thousands going to the NFL, apparently. Get those cats in space and have fun with a freak athlete. Put your athlete against their athlete. So maybe you shoot for, what can he do against Michigan?
Yeah, so I think all of what you're saying revolves around what you mentioned. Is he in good shape? And how quickly can he learn this offense, adapt to his teammates in the camaraderie aspect? But that also brings up the point, you're saying they're going to use him in the big moments, like against Michigan, potentially. Do you think they're going to do that more
I'm saying have him as an option.
Sure.
Have him as an option motioning out to get a swing pass to him, or have him as an option on a jet sweep zone read type situation. There's 100 different ways they can go with their options. And it's been, if there's not one dude, it's going to be committee. And I think this offense will find roles for all their talent. I mean, that's what's so good about this offense is the adaptability, right? They'll see what talent they have. They have some really good talent, but they'll be able to adapt to that talent. I'm just thinking back to the spring game, right? I mean, what did you see? You saw those quick dudes get out on the edge. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm excited to see Tyjon Lindsey just do his thing in space, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got Maurice Washington as a back, not necessarily a flanker. I'm anxious to see what he can do running the football and get him matched. Get all these guys, but specifically Maurice, as good as he's supposed to be, get him matched up on a safety or get him matched up on a nickel. Now, Michigan's loaded, so their hybrid guys are really talented. But, I mean, just go down the list. I mean, feed him a little bit. You have four games without having to burn a red shirt. See if he can be acclimated and ready by Michigan. And then go from there. And maybe feed him a little more. I mean, they're all important games, but Michigan, Purdue, Wisconsin, Northwestern. I mean, you'll know by that stretch before you get through mid-October, I think, where he can be. And maybe you save him if he's still learning and working, and you don't want to put him in a position where he can't succeed. Maybe by the end of the year or the bowl game, that's when it can pop for him.
Definitely. I just wonder if
it's,
you put
it's
him in.
It's going to come down to management.
Yeah, if you put him in crunch time or more in that blowout game time frame where we're either getting our butts kicked or we're kicking someone else's butts, if that's when you're going to place him in more of a situation so we can get more reps in that game versus just one big play in a big game.
Right, and I don't want to say that you're going to remember Terrell Newby, right? He didn't get redshirted, and Terrell Newby was in for like 15 plays his freshman year. And he was brought in critical moments, like third and eighths. So let's shuffle pass it to Terrell Newby. And it was kind of a wasted year for him. I mean, Tyjon Lindsey, he's a guy that didn't see much after the initial couple games. And he's already lost a year of eligibility. So I think Frost and his staff will be very, very, very good with management on this. The point is they're going to have him. They'll get him ready to go. They'll be able to feed him and get the playbook down to him. And you'll have just a freak athlete that can be a difference maker, another option, another home run threat that is such a good hybrid when it comes to running and catching the football. Great news, big news for Nebraska, for Maurice Washington and his eligibility. And Nebraska will use him the right way. And, you know, props to Mo for battling through this thing. And staying the course with it. That's got to be frustrating where you're trying to get things knocked out academically, get eligible, and once you do all that, you still don't know if you can play as a freshman. That's all good to go. Urban Meyer, will he survive this, or do you think he's completely safe? We'll dive in next on Hail Varsity.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Camp's going to get going here on Friday for Nebraska football 2018. Coach Frost will meet with the media tomorrow at 2:30, and a few players will be down there covering that. We'll get caught up with Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey of Hail Varsity .com and magazine here in a little less than an hour. Mike Shuhart, Shuey's going to be with us. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let's do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. On Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio at Danny Burke 5. And at Hail Varsity on Twitter's also where you can find us. Chris at HaleVarsity.com. So Brett McMurphy is not employed at a major outlet anymore. Was a really good reporter for a long time with ESPN. He'd been on with us a couple of times, and now he's on Facebook pretty much just reporting his story as he brought this story up on former Ohio State wide receiver Zach Smith. You remember Zach Smith from his interactions with former Nebraska wide receiver Keith Williams. Kind of a smarmy, scumbaggy loser. That's just the whiff I got of Zach Smith. It's easy to get in line and pile on. But, oh, yes, there is now a long, detailed history of alleged domestic violence from him against his wife. The question about it came up last week with Urban Meyer at Big Ten Media Days, and you had Zach Smith fired, I think the Sunday or Monday before media days, and you have accounts from Zach Smith's ex-wife, Courtney, as to what went on, the abuse she suffered, and quoting Brett McMurphy's story here on Facebook, all the coaches' wives knew. And reading through McMurphy's story, you had a pregnant Courtney the day after or the night of Florida's national championship celebration in 2009. They're at a get-together with all the coaches, a staff celebration in June of 2009. She's several months pregnant, by the way. And Zach Smith goes out with some buddies, comes home loaded with a female coworker, and this was the first time things had happened, at least in McMurphy's story, from the alleged incidents of domestic violence where Zach Smith's loaded. Once the female coworker to stay over. And I'm not laughing at domestic violence. I'm laughing at this guy's logic at 3 a.m. Where his wife's pregnant, there's a female coworker that, hey, she can stay over. You've played it out successfully 1,000 times in your mind to pitch to your wife, right? And what happens? The wife's pissed, drives home the female coworker. Coach Smith's loaded, gets angry, picks his pregnant wife up by her T-shirt and slams her against the wall. Okay? Was never convicted of anything. Was not charged. And things continued. Let's fast forward to his time at Ohio State, where he was routinely and repeatedly, according to the story from Brett McMurphy, from Courtney Smith, Zach Smith's ex-wife, always putting his hands around her neck and choking her, bruises, cutting her with a smokeless tobacco lid. Just all, and I don't mean to like overuse the word always, but coming home in a very angry, frustrated, probably inebriated state. And the question is, Urban, what did you know? Why didn't you do anything? Fill us in here. Why now do you finally fire this guy? And it goes back a long ways. It goes back to Zach Smith playing for Urban Meyer at Bowling Green in 2002. It goes back to Zach Smith having Earl Bruce as his great-grandfather who mentored and took Urban under his wing. It goes back to, Zach Smith's mom and great-grandfather Earl, along with the program fixer, the director of football operations that's been with Urban Meyer for years as his concierge, asking her in 09, look, it'll get better. He was drunk. Won't happen again. Drop the charges or he'll never coach again. That's the introduction to this dude who you married. And the abuse, by her account, continued to get worse. There's stalking. There's cameras set up. They had divorced, I think, in 2015. But there was 6 years of torment and terror that went on. They divorced. Guess what? He's still sending threatening, like, I'm going to kill you and that douche, quoting, you're with. I mean, it's like OJ stuff. And he's still coaching Ohio State. And Urban talked at length about how he's tight and close and loves his wife and they're best friends, they're soulmates. Well, Shelly Meyer was there trying to be there for the ex-wife of one of his coaches. And the question is, okay, if Shelly Meyer knows what's gone on, and Courtney Smith, the coach's abused wife on his staff, is confiding in her, and other assistant coaches' wives know what's going on, how doesn't Urban know? Well, in McMurphy's story in 2015, because Urban knew about 09, said what happened really didn't happen, okay? That was Urban's response to 2009 last week at Big Ten Media Days, the T-shirt and the throwing against the wall I just talked about. Well, he was choking out his wife with their three-year-old wrapped around her ankle in 2015. I think the date was October 25th. Urban's, that's the denial. I knew nothing about it, never heard about it. And there's text communication between Shelly Meyer, Urban's wife, and this coach's now ex-wife. So does Shelly Meyer tell Urban? Well, in McMurphy's story, Urban had finally heard about it from his director of football operations. I hope I'm going linear here. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. And Zach Smith denied it to Urban. No, nothing happened. That wasn't true. I didn't choke my wife out with our three-year-old wrapped around our leg. And he kept coaching. So here's my question. I have several. Does Urban survive this? Is this fireable? Jim Tressel got popped for Tattoo Gate. This is keeping a guy on staff with terroristic threats, with stalking, with physical violence, alleged. There's pictures and bruises, so I don't know that I need to use the word alleged. There's Urban lying to the media, potentially. Did he lie to his employers? You have Title IX repercussions. You have the NCAA that could get involved. Because you're in a position of power, you need to report and deal with this stuff. So does Shelley Meyer. She's a head honcho at the Ohio State School of Nursing. She knew this was going on. Did she tell anybody? Did she tell the athletic department? Did she still tell the school president? So this is pretty high-reaching. Urban Meyer, the question that needs to be answered by him is, what did you know? When did you know it? What's the truth? Secondly, with Urban Meyer, why keep this guy on? Is it because you're loyal to one of your mentors? Is it because he's a kid who played for you that thought he's just got some problems? Man, I'm going to be there for him. I'm going to stand up for him. I'm going to try and help him be a better man. As Meyer said, they were a young family. Young families go through things. Or is it because I'm Urban Meyer and I'm going to win every freaking game there is? And this guy is a silver-tongued devil that can go recruit the best and the brightest wideouts out there. He's a dude that can go win it for me as a recruiter. He's a dude that I have absolute loyalty from because I've saved his ass 15 times. Or is this part C right now where Zach Smith, if Ohio State's up to any gray area funny business with players, is this a situation where Zach Smith knows where every skeleton is because he helped dig the hole? How does a guy like that last 6 years with all this history, with all these police reports? And I get things get fixed. I get people in high powerful situations and high profile spots can make things go away or disappear. It's like an episode of House of Cards. I get it. But at some point, there's a breaking point. It happened because the guy violated the protection order that, by the way, the fact that one of your coaches has a protection order is another red flag. So I think Urban Meyer survives this. His holier-than-thou image is already kind of scoffed at by those in college football. But now from a social outcry, it's going to be very loud. And it should be. And I just need to know, why keep this guy on? What's your reason? Just be honest with me. And don't tell me about soulmates and greatness and how you're best friends with your wife when you're using her as plausible deniability. Because that's what's going on. And even in this story from McMurphy, you have Courtney Smith, Zach Smith's ex-wife, say, I don't know if she told Urban or not. And the other part of this, too, is, look, I've never coached. But I care about coaches. I've had relationships with coaches in different walks of professional levels. They're good dudes. They're teachers. They're not perfect. They are far from perfect. And then you go down the line, you get one that's very, 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 very far from perfect. And it takes all sorts of personalities, different strokes for different folks to assemble a coaching staff. And the most likely thing on Urban Meyer's mind in 2015 was to repeat. He had just lost his offensive coordinator. He needs some continuity on staff. Smith's an ace recruiter. Theoretically, let's just keep this train rolling because I'm Urban Meyer and I got to win every game. Period. That's what's going through his mind. He'll survive this. The Big Ten is looking not so great with Urban Meyer as one of their, or probably their premier coach. But you have a lot of bad dudes and different characters on coaching staffs that you tolerate because they do a very, very good job in the name of winning. And it's been like that in college football for forever.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, is in. We'll switch gears from Urban Meyer briefly. Shuey, what's up? Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. How are you, brother?
Good. Can't beat the weather, man. It's been incredible the last week. It is
phenomenal, and I don't know. Well, I know what I'm going to be doing on Saturday and Sunday. I'm swinging the clubs again. Went out to Talon course for Wilderness Ridge Saturday and Sunday. Played with a buddy on Saturday. And then watched Junior donate golf balls.
Was he feeding the fish?
Oh, brother. He was. He had to work on his footwork. And Dr. Shuey can help with that. 402-434-5106. The number to dial. WildernessRidgeGolf.com where you log on to get that tee time set up. But what I'm telling you is get your game fixed with Mr. Mike Shuhart, who's here. Also Chris Thompson, membership pricing and benefits. Fall golf, I know it's going to get to be sticky and hot, which is also fun to golf in. But it's going to be fall golf, too. I mean, you look at today's weather, and it's just pristine out there to be swinging the clubs.
No question. Fall golf is the best. Crisp in the morning, warms up in the afternoon.
Football in the afternoon.
You know you got football on Saturday. I love fall golf.
It is good. It is good. So tell me what's been happening with Wilderness, the Divot Dogs. Get me caught up on how things went. I heard that things went okay.
Yeah, tomorrow, actually. We play tomorrow.
Is the final?
No, playoffs. Playoffs start tomorrow. They start tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, 8:30. I got three teams. So
lay it out. Tell me about your teams. Tell me about your kids and who you hooking up with.
It'll be interesting. We're playing the Gophers, Yankee Hill Gophers. Playing the Jim Egger team. We're playing Riverside from Grand Island. It'll be good. It'll be fun.
All right.
They'll be ready.
Good crew.
Got a good crew. I got two players missing. My two A players are missing, so we'll have to carry the slack a little bit.
Well, is it family vacation time?
Actually, one of them, my 6-year-old, he's phenomenal to watch. It'd be fun. Walker Nannon.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I ran into BJ in the pro shop.
Yeah, a little left-hander. He actually qualified for a tournament in Pinehurst, so he's down at Pinehurst right now playing in a big junior tournament at Pinehurst.
Is Earl caddy in, or is it BJ?
You know, BJ's caddy. I don't think Earl went. I saw Earl the other day. He was out.
He's my coach in grade school.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So, yeah. So he'll be gone. So he'll be a tough one, but we'll be all right.
Pinehurst.
Pretty cool.
That's really cool.
If you've never been there, it'd be a bucket list place to go.
I bet. So when we're talking about working with kids and the Divot Dogs and what's going on at Wilderness Ridge for youth golf, and please get out and check out the championship course and also the Talon course. Take your insurance agent out there. Don't let him win, but go play nine. Have a good time. But kind of with your instruction and making the points that need to stick at such a young age, but also kind of mixing in the fun.
You bet. That's kind of what we did. Today we had our Talon course league. We have one of those left. So today was etiquette and rules day.
Okay.
So we went through
throwing the clubs.
Exactly. We went through and talked about a lot of the proper etiquette that you all need to abide by when they're on the golf course, some of the rules, because hopefully, and most of the kids will continue playing, and they'll continue playing in junior tournaments, into high school tournaments. So, you know, we get them exposed to some of the things they'll be faced with out there, so they know what to do, and they know how to properly conduct themselves on the golf course and how to properly basically get themselves around the golf course, especially when they start getting into tournament competition.
Sure. You know? With the rules, regulations, the etiquette, it's so important to kind of have that down and make it that gentleman's game that it is. How do you go and work with kids? I'm interested to see this because you're such a good teacher and you have been for your career, but just kind of connecting with those little guys about it's okay to be frustrated, but you got to hold your emotions together.
Exactly. You know, and that's a hard one because you start to get them to understand that
grandpa lose their mind in the sand.
That's right. And it doesn't do them any good. It's like it continues to build and build and build, and you continue to not perform like you want to because of the frustrations kind of getting in the way of that. And, you know, so it's like, how do you control those things? How do we look at it differently and what we're trying to do? A lot of it, it's okay because you're going to hit bad shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't understand it yet, and you don't watch the best players in the world, how they actually perform, and they hit a lot of bad shots. You know, that doesn't mean things are bad. That's just a bad shot is a bad shot. So you go on to the next, and you try to hit that shot as good as you can. So we teach them a lot, and we are very patient with them at times. Other times, not so patient. You know, sometimes a good yelling at
chewing.
The point across. What are you doing?
Be fur. It's not always sunshine and lollipops.
So it just depends. Most of the time we don't have to do that. But every now and then, you know, and then they get the point pretty quick.
You know, I kind of lost it on Junior when he's playing because his focus and his concentration wasn't there. And I'm like, dude, you need lessons. You need to see Shuey. He's like, well, I can play. You know, and he's still in baseball mode and his footwork. Yeah. We worked our butt off for him to like hit the ball in baseball. So now it's, and he needs new clubs too. These things are too short for him, but he just wouldn't keep his head down. And then he gets this, you know, whiny face look where you're just like, dude, just do what we're telling you to do and stay down on the ball. Just make contact. You don't need to. It ain't 3-2 cutter fastball from Mariano coming in.
That's right. That's a tough one because you get a lot of those kids that are playing dual sports.
Yes.
And especially this time of the year because you got a lot of baseball going on. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of golf going on. And there is some definitely bad.
Some good habits for specific sports, but bad habits for certain sports.
Exactly right. You know, and we see that a lot. Like today, I mean, the kids are finishing up with baseball and they're out there and they're falling all over the place trying to hit the home run.
Right.
And it's like, no, you don't hit a home run in golf that way. You whiff it that way.
Yes, you do.
But that's part of what we do. I mean, at least I do. I try to get them to understand what you do at both. I mean, these are the things you think about when it's time for golf mode. These are the things that you do when it's time for baseball mode. And it's your ability to basically translate into that. So it's like, yeah, you know, and find out some of the things that work for them when they do that. It's like, it's golf time, man. Your foot's got to do this. You got to do this. When it's baseball time, you get to do this and this. And try to explain to them a little bit that this is what we're doing in baseball, this is what we're doing in golf, and how to translate that into the time it is for each one.
Shuey, what's going on? I know last weekend and much of last week you had the half off, 50% off sale for women's apparel. Folks can still come see you from a lesson standpoint. There's really cool golf gear out there as well, some Lacoste Wilderness Ridge gear that I think is very, very attractive.
Yep.
So you can look the part. Kind of match your game, obviously.
You always got to look the part, man.
Right?
Even if you can't play the part, you got to look.
You got to look the part.
You got to look the part to play the part.
So I know.
I know the Titleist drivers, they just went on sale. They're like $150 cheaper than they were.
Sweet.
Because next year they have their new model coming out.
So, all right. Yeah. Well, get on by Wilderness Ridge. Wilderness Ridge Golf. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment here. Mike Shuard, wildernessridgegolf.com. 402-434-5106. We'll get Shuey's take here on Tiger and Phil. They just got done playing 9 together. What'd they talk about? If you're on the line, hang on. We'll get to you. Promise you. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Let's get Brian in here before we wind down the hour. Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment is in. Brian, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead, bud. He ejected.
Oh, no.
It's okay. I don't blame you. I mean, we're going to blame Danny, but we're not going to blame Brian for...
Oh, no.
...for checking out.
Poor Danny.
No, I know. poor Danny. Danny's got to move.
You got to move?
He's not moving away, thank the Lord, but he's got to crash at a buddy's house.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I get to move in tomorrow, finally, so... We'll hopefully get everything settled in. But, yeah, you guys feel free to help join in. I'll pitch in beer and pizza for you guys. So only a few flights of stairs, no biggie. We'll get your campers to come help out.
Shuey doesn't like beer, and I'm not a pizza guy. I'm kidding. Just can't help, though.
All right. Well, that's what I'm saying. We'll get the campers, and then we'll get Carson going. Get some muscle on those legs. Lower body workout, right, Shuey?
That's right. I'll be there in spirit.
You'll pay less than it costs to make a pair of Nikes for these poor kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Little labor. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, 9 holes of practice today at Firestone Country Club. Not sure if they're talking about that $10 million 18-hole match. But you got to feel pretty good about it. Mark Steinberg on Tiger, the Tiger's agent, we're closer than we've been. And golf.com last month, of course, reporting the winner take all. Shoey, can you push this thing over the top?
I don't know if I can push it over the top. I guarantee you it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Okay.
Too big a name.
When do you drop it in? When would you do this?
You do that kind of towards the end of the season.
Okay.
Kind of a finale thing.
What network? You do Golf Channel? You do NBC? I mean, doesn't matter.
Probably Golf Channel.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably Golf Channel. I mean, if you get on network TV, man, that'd be a.
I think people would watch that, don't you?
I do. Huh? No question.
All right. Let's squeeze Brian in. He's back with us. Brian, thanks for hanging. Go ahead.
So you're kind of semi answering my question with last segment. Like I was a baseball player all the way through my childhood. Now, I used to actually make fun of golfers because I thought it was just pointless. But then once I realized that I'm getting older and there's not very many sports to play, golf is actually really fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
My problem is I have that baseball stance, and I swing the club like I'm swinging for a home run.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm getting my connection and all that stuff. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'm doing that. But I still lift up that back foot.
Oh, yeah.
So, Shoey, a little advice. Brian, thanks for calling, and thanks for asking a question to Shoey. We'll let Shoey answer. What's the best way to do it other than staple gun to
that one too,
to the feet?
Yeah, nails through the toes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that usually works.
You'll keep
good.
It working. Cinder block.
No, really, you got to learn how to swing your arms faster than you move your body.
Okay.
See,
like windmill it through.
Yeah, like baseball, man, you're driving your hips, opening up to get your bat to swing on a, basically trying to get above the ball,
right.
You know, so you can hit a home run with that thing. In golf, you're going to reverse it. You actually keep your feet quiet or your body quiet, and you try to swing your arms faster than you can actually move your body. You can't really do it because it's all connected to itself. Mm-hmm. So when your arms go through, your shoulders go through, your hips go through. But that's probably an easy way. That's what I do with a lot of my kids, and it helps them a lot. It helps them keep their feet on the ground. It's still tough, but it's like, think about swinging your arms to actually move your body instead of your body trying to move to swing your arms.
Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment. Should we hang out if you want?
For a minute.
Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson, HailVarsity.com, and magazine on the way. Maurice Washington is in. How much will he play? Other position groups as camp gets going. We'll talk about it next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. And you can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_radio. Find and follow, and at Danny Burke. Fine. We welcome in Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, at Dr. Petey HV on Twitter. Derek, what's good, man? How are you?
I'm bored, man. There's nothing happening with Husker football right now. There's nothing happening tomorrow. There's nothing happening Friday. I'm trying to figure out how to fill my days.
Yeah, bored in the word. And it's it's an onslaught. I want to get your quick take on Maurice Washington's eligibility, what you think his fit and where his fit will be, and how he's going to be used. I mean, it's all contingent on shape and understanding and all of that. But give me a quick quick response, if you could, on where Nebraska goes now that they have this luxury in the running back room.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's a luxury. I mean, this is a huge get. It was a big-time win when they landed him on National Signing Day initially. This is an even bigger win. I don't think it sounds like the staff was not expecting this ruling to come back, that he was going to be immediately eligible to play. So from that standpoint, I mean, this it's something that they weren't necessarily planning for. It's something that now he becomes just another weapon to use in their game. I mean, he's fast. He's got good power. at 6'1", I think is what he's listed at. He's got really good size for a running back. He's got good hands. He can do everything that they want their running back to do. And, I mean, this is a really, really talented running back that Nebraska just kind of had fall into their lap. He might be a little behind some of the other guys in terms of getting up to speed with the offense and getting prepared. But the good thing is they have done their work. This coaching staff has, in the sense that they've got a bunch of other weapons that they can use. If Maurice Washington is a change of pace back, he's going to be really good in that role. But he's also talented enough to where if he was a featured back, he'd be a really darn good featured back. So this is a really, really good day for Nebraska football, for its fans, for the on-field prospects of this offense next season. Big day, big get.
All right, let's. When do you think the soonest is you could see Maurice Washington catching or running the football for Nebraska?
Why not game one? Like, why not in a non-conference? I think with the redshirt rule being what it is now, I think you can get him in early if he's ready for it, if he's physically ready for it. Get him in early, get him some touches. I think what we're going to see in the non-conference is we're going to see a lot of snaps for a lot of different players. I don't think we're going to see a workhorse back at all this season. That just wasn't their MO last year. I think the most carries a guy got in any particular game at Central Florida over the last 2 years was like 16. If I remember correctly from that dive that I did, and that was Adrian Killens. He got 16. So I don't think we're going to see anyone get featured. I think there's going to be a pretty good split of carries in the backfield amongst all the different names that they have, because they don't just have running backs that are going to run the ball. You're going to get wide receivers too. But I think especially in those first three games, you're going to see a ton of guys seeing the field. You're going to see a ton of guys getting snaps, a ton of guys touching the ball. If Washington is physically fit and ready to go, I don't see why we wouldn't see him on the field early.
Have you heard anything? I mean, I assume he's been working out, but working out on your own versus working out with the group are two different things.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about. I know they wanted to get him on campus. I know they wanted to get him both with this coaching staff and with the strength program and get him in their weight room. But I don't know the answer as to whether, you know, he was going through off-season summer workouts or things like that.
Derek, you think that he's going to get thrown into the games probably at the very beginning of the season in these non-conference games. So do you kind of envision him coming in a scenario where it's most likely going to be a blowout, or do you think it might be right away and it could be close at the point where he would come in?
I think it would be close. Like, we could just run through guys. Like, they've got Greg Bell, who's going to play a ton. I think he's really talented. They've got Trey Bryant, who, if he's healthy, and it sounds like they want to play him this year, he'll play. You've got Jalen Bradley. You've got Divine Ozigbo. You've got Miles Jones in the backfield to be able to use him in the backfield. I think Maurice will get touches. I think it's more situational, depending on who they're playing and what kind of looks they're getting, than it is dependent on quarter and score, if that makes sense.
Right. Just where is their fit, their niche, where can they succeed, right?
Exactly, because that's one of the things that this coaching staff is really good at and is known for. They make in-game adjustments, and they're really good at getting guys in situations and getting guys into favorable matchups and places where they can succeed. So I think when we're talking about, you know, who's going to play when and who's going to play how much, it's going to be more determined by opponent than it is score.
Derek Peterson's with us, tremendous writer, HailVarsity.com and magazine, at DrPDHV on Twitter. Well, that was great news for Nebraska fans with Maurice Washington. We're kind of all on the same page that he'll make an impact, he'll contribute, he'll be extremely talented in his ability to be that hybrid home run, catch, run, do it all, Reggie Bush type, can be really impressive for this offense for Frost. Let's move the quarterbacks, all right, because why not? What's your gut telling you as we go into media day tomorrow about the quarterbacks? What are you thinking about here with this storyline?
It's still very much a competition. I don't think there has been a decision made on who's going to be the guy. Frost has said they want to make that decision with a week left before the opener. I think that will be the case. I think they'll be able to make that decision. I have said for a while I think it's Adrian Martinez, and that's not a knock on Tristan Jebbia or what he can bring. They obviously have two different skill sets, and that Martinez will open up more of that RPO game than maybe Jebbia would. Jebbia would give you more of a vertical passing game, more of an efficient passing game probably. But I just think, and Greg Smith and I have talked about this a lot, that Adrian is the guy that's going to be the quarterback of the future. And given the narrative of this season, the way this season I think is going to play out, I think this season is more about getting ready for this era and getting ready for next season. Next season's schedule is so much more favorable. And I think the benefit of getting Martinez in and getting him as much run, getting him as many snaps, getting him into as many situations as possible this year, I just don't see a benefit of waiting. So I think ultimately Adrian will be the guy, but I do think that this is a competition that will last, until they absolutely have to make a decision.
We will get back to Nebraska thoughts real quick. This from Ari Wasserman. He is with The Athletic. This on Ohio State. This about 5 minutes old. Ohio State is doing an investigation into the allegations with Coach Matt Smith, Brett McMurphy's story, and Urban Meyer has been put on paid administrative leave.
Interesting. That's
the latest. Let's go to Urban for a second, and I think he survives this.
I do.
Because the coach is no longer there. 2015, I'm not downplaying what kind of monster Coach Smith has been to his ex-wife per the allegations. Okay. I'm just saying that Urban and even the victims wasn't sure per Brett's story if Urban knew about it. And in McMurphy's story, Urban asked Smith about 2015, and Smith denied any wrongdoing. That's, again, per the story. Now, you can't bury your head in the sand. There's too many folks, 6 degrees of separation here with plausible deniability for Urban, and that's the insulation that has been going on there.
Yeah, I think, it's it's a bad situation, but I honestly think that the thing that makes this fireable for Urban is not necessarily the allegations and whether he knew about them or not.
Lying.
Because those are terrible in the first place. But I think the where he's going to get into some trouble is he got up in front of 100-plus media members a week ago and straight lied through his teeth.
Here's the thing.
That he didn't know about it.
Has he lied to the NCAA or Title IX? That's what'll get him popped. Lying to the media is kind of price of doing business.
Well, but that was his chance to make a public statement. I just think whether his wife Shelley told him or not, like, we just witnessed a pretty high profile NBA guy get canned because he told his wife stuff that he shouldn't have, and she was doing stuff that she shouldn't have. You will never be able to convince me that if Shelley Smith or if Shelley Meyer was told about domestic assault accusations against one of Urban's staff members that she would not have passed that information along to Urban, especially considering Courtney Smith is alleging that all the wives knew. Coaching staffs. Yeah, they all knew. There's no way Urban didn't know. Now, obviously, you have to prove that he did. But I just think that, Jim Tressel got fired for tattoos.
No, I get it.
In this climate, in this, like right now, I don't see how you can just, if you're Ohio State, I don't see how you can bury your head in the sand and not do anything. Have we gotten a statement from Ohio State yet? Have they released anything?
This from Bruce Feldman. Urban Meyer, Gene and I agree that being on leave during this inquiry will facilitate its completion. This allows the team to conduct training camp with minimal distraction. I eagerly look forward to the resolution of this matter. That from Urban Meyer.
Interesting.
Listen, he's...
It's a bad situation.
Oh, it's horrible. And you can't keep this dude on staff for 6 years unless you're loyal to great-grandpa, which was Earl Bruce, or you remember him being a walk-on for you at Bowling Green, which he was, or he knows where the bodies are buried. And one of the final text messages to his ex-wife in McMurphy's story, if I get fired for all this, I'm taking everybody down with me at Ohio State. So that you're dealing with a loose cannon, a really awful person, yes, but you're dealing with a loose cannon here. So listen, Urban Meyer, I'm not advocating that he should keep his job. I just don't think Ohio State will be a program to lose two national championship coaches to scandals. I think they'll figure out a way to keep him. They may suspend him. The coach is no longer working there, and you got plausible deniability. Plus Shelly Meyer is going to be there for her husband. Period.
Yeah, I don't know that she would throw him under the bus. I don't know that he's going to throw her under the bus. But I mean, everything you were just saying, it's just that paints. That's the landscape in college football that we live in right now. That's the cost of winning in college football. That because you have a national championship winning coach, stuff like this can be allowed to go on. And it's,
I mean, listen, it's gone on, and it's gone on for years at varying levels, varying degrees.
Yep.
You've got a bunch of assistants that are just all wired differently, man. And you've got a lot of bad marriages in college football that you just do. And I pray that you don't have instances of abuse like this on staffs, but you know there's been. I'm not saying great, it's okay, it's nothing big. It is a huge deal. But maybe...
Well, and you had instances of this at Florida too, when Smith was with Urban at Florida.
Well, I know. I mean, it was 09. He didn't take him directly to Ohio State, but he brought him back at some point.
Yep.
No, I think he survives this. He'll get his ducks in a row. And he'll get beat up for quite a bit publicly, and he should, for having a guy like this on staff. He needed a guy like Zach Smith on his staff, period. That's going to be the real reason he survived 6 years with Urban Meyer. The public response will be, well, I'm just trying to help out a young coach. I'm trying to be there for a guy who had some problems. That's how he's going to spin it.
Which is, I mean, that's how that was what came out after the Aaron Hernandez stuff.
Yep.
That they thought that he would be better off with their program
than being gone.
Than being away from them. Yeah, that was. So I mean, I can see him lasting just because of, you know, winning in college football is everything. If you win, you're safe for the most part until something truly egregious happens that you yourself have done. But if he does lose his job over this, I bet you it's not because he had Zach Smith on staff and brought Zach Smith back after the Florida stuff. It's because he lied about what he knew.
Yep, absolutely.
Derek and Peterson, that is a problem in and of itself.
No, it is. It is. Let's just lie and I won't get caught. Derek, we're up against it. Man, awesome stuff today. Thanks for jumping on with us, bud.
Thanks, bud.
Take care. Derek Peterson, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. At Dr. Petey, HV on Twitter.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you. Good stuff from Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey of Hale Varsity. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago. If you're just getting caught up with this, Ohio State placing Urban Meyer on administrative leave pending an investigation. That announcement came down here about 15 minutes ago or so. So you've got the report that made it clear Urban Meyer knew about domestic violence allegations involving former assistant wide receivers coach Zach Smith, but did not act or remove him from his football program. That recently just happened towards the end of July, right before Big Ten Media Days. This from CBS. The university is conducting an investigation into these allegations. Ohio State issuing a statement. During the inquiry, Meyer will be on paid administrative leave. Ryan Day will serve as acting head football coach. During the investigation, we're focused on supporting our players and on getting the truth as soon as possible. Meyer's statement says the following: Gene and I agree that being on leave during the inquiry will facilitate its completion. This allows the team to conduct training camp with minimal distraction. I eagerly look forward to the resolution of this matter. So, Urban Meyer knew, you would think, that his assistant coach, Zach Smith, was a bad dude. Urban Meyer had to hear. Urban Meyer's wife heard. Other coaches' wives heard that Zach Smith was physical, was mentally abusive, physically abusive. She was choked and bruised, slammed against walls. The kids were traumatized. Even when she divorced him, he had secret cameras in place to spy on her and her boyfriend. These are all per Brett McMurphy's reports on Facebook. Also with the Columbus Dispatch and their follow-up story. You had stalking. You have terroristic threats. You have threats of bodily harm to boyfriend and ex-wife via text. Then you have a, I'm going to blow the whole bleeping place up with, if I get fired for any of this, I'm taking everybody at Ohio State down with me. Urban Meyer's dealing with a wild card. There was a walk-on player for him, an 0-2 at Bowling Green, that took a job and did a good job for him as a young coach that got verbal, physical, and drunk and lashed out against his wife in 2009, was a mess and physically and verbally abusive, allegedly, to his wife in 2015. Urban Meyer claimed last week in Chicago that he knew nothing about that. In Brett McMurphy's story, the claim is, well, Zach Smith denied doing any of it. And he was kept on. He was recently fired because Coach Smith showed up unannounced at his ex-wife's house to pick up their child. That violated a protection order, and he was arrested. So there's a lot of police visits. There's a lot of handcuffing. There's a lot of people saying don't press charges. It will ruin his career. And why is Urban Meyer sticking with this guy? Is it being sentimental? He's one of my guys, played for me. He's a walk-on. Is it because great-grandpa Earl Bruce was a major mentor to me and said, watch out for my grandson, my great-grandson? Is it because I need to win football games and he's the type of dirty I need to recruit the best? Or is it because Zach Smith is one of my hitmen? And I mean that in the term how Ohio State finishes number 5 in the country or better in recruiting rankings year after year after year. You got to have some of those guys that, I don't want to say can get dirty, but know how to close, okay? I don't want to get sued here. But my point being is that you have guys on staff that are your right hands and your lieutenants, and they will do whatever you ask, no questions asked. Okay? And he knows where the bodies are buried because he probably helped bury some. There's that possibility, hypothetically. So there's all of your choices, multiple choice-wise, as to why this guy lasted 6 years. Why he got brought back, even though after Urban left Florida, he didn't bring him with him to Ohio State. And you're going to hear more stories, I hope, from ex-coaches' wives about all the crap they put up with. Now, there's a lot of really awesome coaches. There's a lot of really great head coaches. And there's a lot of problems in all families. There's a lot of problems in college football families. The pressure, and I'm not condoning or excusing. So you know how it is. Dad's gone for 20 hours a day. Husband and wife don't see each other. Maybe they drift apart. Maybe their eyes wander. Whatever. The kids, are they parented by their own father? Or is dad out there trying to get the next 7-star? I mean, those are the facts of life. And you have gray area with a husband and wife in major college coaching that probably tolerate each other. You have a lot of divorces. I don't have the official numbers on divorce rate. I haven't done that study. But I would be surprised if it's not like 65%. And then you have like situations where husband and wife is right there by the coach, taking care of the family, supporting her head coach or assistant, and they just work. I mean, those are your three options, and those are your three realities. And you got a lot of tuned-up dudes that have priorities way out of whack and take it out on somebody that doesn't deserve it in the form of your wife, and in this clown's case, his pregnant wife. That's what you hire. And you dismiss, it looks like, all the bad qualities and history and believe him at his word with, no, I didn't do any of that, coach. Because you need him for a couple of key things, and he can do it better than anybody else. There's your answer to 6 years and finally cutting him loose because there were no more rabbit's feet or nine lives to live for Zach Smith.
Yeah, see, you're making great points and everything surrounding it. Of course, you're right. Burying the dead bodies, saying he's going to mentor him. I think this is what will happen. Not what I think should happen, but what will happen.
No, this isn't me jumping on a soapbox saying, well, Urban should keep his job. No. I mean, the guy's totally BS'd everybody on this, and it's let's go win more football games. That's your answer here, and they're going to let him keep doing it because he's too valuable to the university and the Big Ten. You're not going to get rid – Ohio State's not going to take a major punch to the junk a second time in 10 years and lose a national championship coach. They won't do it. They'll suspend him at worst. And he's got too many buffers here. He's got his wife. People are going to say what they need to say to keep him from losing his job. And he'll be supervised with the next hire. You know, hey, A.D. Smith. Yeah, Coach Smith was in here. Says he didn't do it. I believe him. Are we okay? That's the conversation. Go get the 5-star from St. Louis. That's it. And that dude kept bringing in players. So I'm not going to get rid of him.
Yeah, I see. I get that. I just don't know in today's day and age. I don't know if that's going to fly. The Big Ten has had its controversies, man. Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, Jim Tressel with the tattoos. Now we got this with social media and just all the uprising on sexual abuse.
No,
all of that just going on nowadays. How much more are they going to let this happen? I don't think the public is just going to let this one slide by, especially with a powerhouse program like Ohio State. And like we were saying, how he lied to the Big Ten media when he had the chance right there and how this has happened at that program, not necessarily this, but with the tattoos, other incidents, and how this has been going on for a while. I just don't see the public letting this one go again in the Big Ten.
No, but can you go crucify Urban? I mean, they fired the guy 10 days ago. He's no longer on staff. He's no longer on staff.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's tough. Like you said, 2015, that national championship season, and Urban's got so many guys to look over. And while this has happened in the past, it's tough to entirely blame Urban. That's why, like Derek was saying, you're not firing him for that, maybe necessarily as much, but the fact that he just straight up lied, and now this is getting brought up like that.
I mean, head coaches will say what they need to say to journalists, all right? They just will. Not all, but some. I mean, you look at a guy like Urban Meyer, super successful, really talented, had good staffs. I mean, all that's like out the window. His image and his perception as the elite, they're gone. But there's 100 more stories, unfortunately, like this in college football. Mm-hmm. Now, do you fire him for concealing assault? What I mean, he ignored. He didn't conceal. He ignored. And per McMurphy's story, he chose to believe what he wanted to believe. He had his wife involved with it. And the other part of this, too, is, I mean, you've got a protection order that's active that, I mean, he was, there's 100 incidents and reports there. I mean, it should have, if it was going to be done, it should have been done a long time ago. It wasn't. That's the issue. That's the topic for sure. But you've let it go this long, so now let's retroactively fire the guy in Urban Meyer for something in 2015. I want to know how many guys are on his staff right now that are smoking their wives. I mean, that's my next question. Who else on staff does this? What else do you tolerate?
That's why I think a line's got to be drawn at some point, and the head guy's who you go for here. That's why I don't think people will let it slip by. Maybe he doesn't get fired, but there's going to be some kind of punishment that's
right.
going to be detrimental to the season.
They'll punish him, and Ohio State's do anything to keep him. They'll make that happen. Don't kid yourself.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Doug Tavis with us. Dr. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Chris. How you doing?
I'm good, man. It's good to spend some time with you today. Major League Baseball trade deadline is come and gone, and no major moves with the Nationals. But, Dr. Doug, they're one of those teams that you think should be performing better. They're not out of it, but they're kind of scuffling right now, and not good news with Strasburg, correct?
Yeah, they really have been hit injury bug wise. You know, seems like all their big names have been on and off the disabled list all year, and Strasburg is back on here again now with a pinched nerve in his neck. So it's been kind of tough, and you know, for a team that's been making the playoffs routinely, that's a pretty hard pill to swallow.
Well, and you're just wondering if they're going to get over the hump, and not having him is brutal. I mean, he's done such a tremendous job throughout his career, but he's also been pretty injury prone, and just kind of looking at him, I mean, he's a 30-year-old thrower right now. I know he's 6'5", but a pinched nerve, it's always brutal and uncomfortable, but that sounds impossible to even think about if you're a pitcher.
Yeah, you know, it's when you think about just the torsion that occurs when you're throwing the baseball like that, and how much core compression has to happen when you when you get tight to throw that ball. If you got a pinched nerve in your neck or in your low back, that's a pretty disabling thing for a pitcher. We always think about those guys with their shoulders and their elbows, but clearly you've got that kind of thing going on every time you tighten up to make that throw. That could really send a zinger down those arms.
It is. He's 6-7, 3.9 ERA. He received a shot to his neck. First and foremost, let's start off with how a pitcher can pinch a nerve in his neck. What are some ways to do it? I know you just mentioned the torque that goes into getting the mechanics down and then the follow through and then the velocity you want. But what are some ways you've seen or let this play out in your mind how you can get this type of injury?
Yeah, so, you know, back and neck problems are rampant, you know, in our society anyway. And so there's a lot of genetics that goes into that. People that have genetic histories of back and neck problems, it's not unusual to see that in multi-generations. So sometimes it's just a process of the natural progression that's going to go on and not necessarily associated with throwing. But there have been some studies that have looked at Major League Baseball players with low back and cervical disc herniations. And so when we think about a pinched nerve, a lot of times that is secondary to a herniated disc in the neck or in the low back. The good news for baseball players, and specifically for pitchers, is that when those have been looked at in Major League Baseball players, Major League pitchers, the return to being able to throw like they threw before and completely recover from that is really very high, over 90%. And so that's one of the better statistics for a pitcher coming back from anything.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Strasburg, his neck issue. So he had one start back following 6 weeks on the DL. You've got this neck impingement. And Dr. Doug, do you think this was kind of brewing all along that maybe finished up or resulted in this pinch? I mean, could there be other things that helped cause this?
Yeah, I think you're right to bring that up, Chris, because, you know, when you've got a sore shoulder and you're trying to protect your shoulder, one of the natural ways that you do that is to tighten up the muscles around the neck. The neck muscles, like the trapezius muscle, for instance, most of us know where that muscle is on the top of our frame, and that goes from your neck down towards your shoulder. Well, if you're overly tightening those muscles to protect the shoulder, that's going to put a new strain on the neck that wasn't necessarily there before. And so it could very well be that this is sort of a secondary residual problem that's coming along because of the shoulder injury that he had earlier in the year. Thankfully, we've got some options of ways to treat it, like he did with doing the injection. But it could very well be something that's kind of all connected with that earlier injury.
Dr. Doug, take me through this shot he got, and there's going to be about a 72-hour kind of wait and see with it. But what type of injection would he be getting for this pinched nerve? I think I've had pinched nerves in my neck, and I'm not throwing 98 with movement, but I would have tried anything is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there you go. Sometimes you got to have all the stuff there to start with, right?
Right.
I think most of us are familiar with doing an injection in the low back for a pinched nerve in the back. Epidural steroid injection is the typical term that gets thrown around. With any place along the spine where a nerve is being pinched, there's the potential of using a steroid injection to decrease any inflammation around that particular nerve root as it's coming out of the spine. And so whether that's up by the upper part of the neck or whether that's down in the low back, that can be a real effective way of shrinking any inflammation. That inflammation could be coming from some bone spurs with inflammation or with the soft tissue around it swelling, or it could be coming from a herniated disc, like we talked about. But that's the most likely situation: is a very directed, very pinpoint directed cortisone injection, and get that inflammation under control, pressure off of the nerve root.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Strasburg, the pinched neck nerve, and moving forward. So you have this injection. What's the turnaround time for testing him out and him being back to action? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so So if you can get that inflammation calmed down, you'll know that in several days after that injection. It's not an immediate thing, but somewhere in the first 3 to 7 days after that injection, you ought to have a pretty good idea whether or not that's going to turn things around. Then you got to give the guy, some time to get back into his throwing, and so I think a couple of weeks is a reasonable time frame to be thinking about. I think they put him on the 10-day disabled list, so we may see him back a little sooner than later. Just kind of depends on how he's responding with that.
Well, we'll see if the Nats can make a run. You always wonder about how open the window is for a team. Is the window shut? Is it halfway shut? And, this week Bryce Harper didn't go anywhere, but you still got Strasburg. They've built a quality squad that hasn't gotten over the hump. We'll see if Strasburg can get healthy and the Nats can put a run together, at least in the wild card, pretty stacked East therein. Dr. Doug, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All right, Chris. Take care, buddy.
Good stuff there on Strasburg. Hail Varsity will wind down. You're chanting some Rib Fest tickets. They're coming up next segment as we say goodbye on a Wednesday with Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Big day tomorrow. We'll get caught up with former coach at Colorado and Northwestern, Gary Barnett, going to be with us. We'll probably try and run down Brandon Vogel. Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago, is moving. That's it's an adventure. And to miss any part of the show, Derek Peterson was great today with HailVarsity.com and Magazine. The podcast will be up, iTunes or HailVarsity.com, select portions on ESPN Lincoln or HailVarsity Twitter, and of course, the in-demand on ESPNLincoln.com, and can tell Lexi to crank up that HailVarsity podcast, and she'll do that for you as well. So Otter Heyman, Rick can pick out those diamonds that make her smile. Pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds grown in a lab. Instead of mined from the earth, they're eco-friendly, they're beautiful, they're sustainable. They're 10 to 40% less than earth-mined diamonds, and they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion around West in Grand Island. Log on now, SauterHeyman.com. Danny, we've got some Ribfest tickets giveaway.
That's right. We got two pair to give away.
Two?
Yeah.
So it's four total.
No. Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Four total,
right.
But two pair.
Correct.
So do we want to like make it easy or do we want to make it hard?
Oof. I don't know.
You're like, dude, you probably got gals to go see. It's okay. So we'll do caller four and caller five.
There we go.
For Ribfest tickets?
Yes, sir.
Sound good?
Oh, yeah.
Caller four, caller five right now makes it happen. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller four, caller five. Danny will get that handle. What are you doing tonight? Saying some goodbyes? You're packing? You're staying with a buddy?
Yeah, staying with a buddy tonight, tomorrow.
I'd rent you Carson's room.
Yeah, we could play Fortnite all night. That sounds good to me. I didn't have my Xbox set up in my buddy's place.
You're going to ask me for $50 an hour to tutor him, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if you want me tutoring your kid. I mean, that might not be the smartest thing, but depends what it's in, I guess.
Well, I'm saying Fortnite.
Oh, he's probably better than I am.
There are Fortnite tutors making...
Is that actually a thing?
It is a thing, man. This world's going
no
to
way.
Hell. It is.
I mean, I believe it, but that's ridiculous.
What do you do? I'm a Fortnite tutor. What else do you do? I'm an Uber driver. I do both, and I make more than a teacher. Something's wrong. Very wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so caller four and caller five. We'll get Ribfest tickets. We'll have plenty of thoughts from Coach Frost tomorrow with media availability. Coach Gary Barnett tomorrow. We'll try and run down Brandon Vogel tomorrow. Maybe Jay Moore. I mean, a lot of things happening on Thursday.
You've been to a Ribfest, Schmitty?
Oh, I was at the first Ribfest, my friend.
Ooh, okay.
As a radio intern.
Ah. Did you get any perks from being there?
I was trying to make a good impression, so I was on beer duty. So I would bring my superior's beer.
Take a couple sips on the way.
I wouldn't do that. It's their beer. But yeah, no, I've been to Rib Fest a lot.
Okay. So yeah, good. I went last year, checked it out. It was awesome.
It is. It's awesome, man. Good time. Caller 4, caller 5 now. Makes it happen. Rib Fest tickets. We'll have more Rib Fest tickets tomorrow and Friday. Danny Burke, good stuff from you, brother. Thanks to Derek Peterson, Mike Schuart, Dr. Doug. Great to talk with you again on a Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.